Joining me now on the phone is Michael Tilley, the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com, which covers business, politics, and much more for the entire listening area. How are you doing, sir?
So far, so good.
So far, so good. And so happy that you're going to talk to me this week as I'm filling in for Kyle.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, he, the traveling man, you guys have not let him return.
He is the traveling man. We let him return for a couple of days and then send him back off out into the world to call some basketball games, but should be returning soon. And until then, you're going to tell me a little bit about, I think we're going to talk about the Arkansas legislature to start with. Lots of things happening there. Abortion's been a big topic this session.
Well, it has, and there are two pieces of legislation. One that's already passed into law. Over a BB veto, another that will be over a BB veto also. And they're both restrictive, one more so than the other. And one of the concerns among even some anti-abortion advocates was that the laws pushed too much and that, you know, they wanted to end abortion, but they wanted to do it in more of an incremental way. But these two bills are very aggressive, very popular with the anti-abortion groups, especially some of the more conservative religious elements of the Republican Party, but there's going to be some pushback, and we're already hearing from the ACLU and some other groups who say they will challenge the laws in court, which it's not a surprise, but that is going to be a cost to the Arkansas taxpayer because they are Arkansas law, and that requires Attorney General Dustin McDaniel to defend them in court. And so depending on how far it gets pushed, you know, this could be hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxpayer costs to defend these bills, and that's one of the reasons that's the primary reason Governor Beebe vetoed them. I mean, it wasn't necessarily that his position on abortion, was just that this isn't the smartest way to address the problem. So we'll see. The next year or so it will be interesting on the legal front for Attorney General Dustin McDaniel.
And earlier this week in the River Valley, you guys hosted the Arkansas Aerospace Summit.
Yes, the fifth annual Arkansas Aerospace Summit. And it's an interesting year for the group. They've formalized, had their own director now, their own interim board of directors. And Chad Causey, who was a congressional candidate in the last cycle over in East Arkansas, is now the new director. It's a Little Rock-based group, but there are roughly 180 companies, a little over 9,000 employees that are affiliated with the Arkansas aerospace industry. And it was in 2012, according to the Alliance, it topped agriculture for the value of exports, which is interesting. Agriculture has almost always been the leading exporter. But, you know, when you think about it, you know, airplanes, aircraft, equipment, the missile defense systems down in Camden, which is part of the Alliance, those are high dollar items. It didn't take much of that production to add up. And their goal, and these are high wage jobs too. These are very good jobs, but you know, they require a workforce that's competent in science and technology, engineering, math. And so the focus of the Alliance is twofold. To some extent is to connect Arkansas's various levels of education institutions into the workforce so they can help with training, and also make the Alliance and the industry more, generate more awareness among business and community leaders in Arkansas. And Grant Neal, director of the Arkansas Economic Development Commission, spoke at their, was the keynote speaker at their luncheon and had some, he's, you know, very supportive. And he talked about how Arkansas has not done enough to help, but they're changing that. And they're even changing things, you know, simple things like how to, you know, wording in our sales tax law that could impact, you know, what products are brought into Arkansas for certain phases of assembly. So it gets very technical, but the bottom line is this could be a very important industry for Arkansas. And, you know, if we could build on the energy industry and add aerospace alliance or aerospace jobs, it could do a lot to help raise Arkansas's per capita income.
You mentioned that it was surprising that it was close to agriculture, which is a big part of the state. And another big part of the state are our state parks. There's lots of state parks, and I've not made it to nearly as many as I would like. But Lake Fort Smith State Park had an announcement about some expansion there.
Yes, and you were so correct on all the parks. If I was just on the Arkansas Department of Parks and Tourism website a couple of days ago, and I was somewhat embarrassed at myself for not knowing about all these interesting places that are located around the state. Need to get out more often. But to the point, yes, there are 10 new cabins at Lake Fort Smith State Park. And remember, the park had to be completely remade several years ago when the city of Fort Smith expanded the water supply.
Mm-hmm.
So the cabins were part of the new construction, and it's a little over $2 million project. I built the 10 cabins, and it wasn't just the 10 cabins. There were also roadways and the water system, sewer system utilities that were part of that, parking lots and that type of thing. But it's about a $2.1 million project. And the cabins were built to appear like the old WPA, it's the old WPA style.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of your listeners will remember that, but it's the old style of buildings, some of that you see maybe like a Devil's Den.
Right.
They also use some of the old stone from the old cabins that were at the first Lake Fort Smith State Park. So interesting. It's a great park. This should help. And it's halfway between the Northwest Arkansas area and the Fort Smith area. So it's a great getaway for people in both markets. So it's nice to have. That almost marks the, I hate to say, complete return of the park when it went away, but it's kind of the, okay, we're back to full strength now at Lake Fort Smith State Park.
Well, that's promising, something to look forward to there, especially with the warmer months coming up and people wanting to be outdoors and camping and that
right.
sort of thing.
Perfect timing. Open.
And finally, I would like to ask you a little bit about your story about the reemergence of the Cherokee language, which I found interesting.
Well, this is interesting, and kudos to our Ryan Saylor, our reporter here, tracked down a note that Windows 8, Microsoft, through the Windows 8, was developing software that you could use the Cherokee language on Windows 8. And this is a language that's been around for a while, roughly 200 years ago, the great Sequoia, developed an alphabet based around the language. But it's been somewhat of a, I'd say a dying language, but according to Cherokee Nation, there are really only about 3,000 people who are fluent.
Oh, wow.
To speak the language. So it was interesting that Windows decided that, we're going to select, this Native American language to be included in their operating system. And, it was interesting. They had dilemmas. For example, just the word folder.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a common language that's used on an operating system, moving stuff to folders. Well, the Cherokee language didn't have a word for folder.
Oh.
So they had to do some workarounds on that using the Cherokee language. Because in the Cherokee language, the word for folder is really, it's a term. It essentially is putting papers in a container.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to, in our language, a word can sometimes mean an entire thing, where in other languages that there's not a word for it, there's a phrase for it. So that was some of the things they had to overcome. But an interesting story, interesting that Microsoft, which obviously is a well-known global company and provides software to millions, if not billions, of people, has chosen to include Cherokee in its put the Cherokee language as a choice in its operating system language.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for talking to me today, and I hope you enjoy the rest of this nice warm weather we're having and a little bit more this weekend.
Oh, well, yes. You have a good weekend also. Thanks.
Thank you. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com, which covers politics, business, and much more for the entire listening area. Thanks again, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
On this week's Generic Blues Show, I've brought in Bob McInerney, Dan and Terry Hine, and The Music Machine. Played quite a few tracks here in the KOF studios. And Dan also reminisces about his time with the Fabulous Flippers. That's the Generic Blues Show every Friday night at 9 o'clock, We'll see you then.